Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Your window on the world today is going into technology, and it's a very important subject for everyone, so stay tuned as we begin venturing forth cautiously. As we begin talking about this subject today, we want to introduce the panelists that we have with us today.
I'm Nathaniel. Great to be here for this technology article. Very interesting. Also has some application to business, I think.
And I'm Rebecca. I'm thrilled to be on the program today talking about business and technology.
And Rebecca, you work in our business department and also in IT sometimes, don't you?
Yes. A lot of it's cross-functional now. We have to cross our borders more between business and technology.
Right. And I am Doris Brom, Peng Meng Hui. Glad to be with you as we discuss this article. You know, some of you might say, oh, technology, it's kind of difficult. Do you think it is?
I think it can be kind of difficult. It keeps changing. Changes really quickly, especially in today's world.
And there are a lot of big words in technology, the technology jargon that non-techies sometimes find a little hard. But we will help you learn some of the jargon.
Right. At least we'll understand what it means. Now, these may not be words that you will put in your everyday vocabulary.
Right.
Some of them. Some of them you can, right? But they're words that you might say, well, oh, yes, I read about that. I heard something about that. You'll remember something from today, I'm sure.
Yes, I think that that's true. There's a lot of these words. You won't use that often, but you will run into them occasionally, and it's good to know them.
Right. And so, as our article says on page 28 today, we are venturing forth cautiously. And I would say, in teaching this article, we are venturing forth cautiously because we're trying to be cautious of what we say everything means, because everything is not always that accurate as far as the meaning goes. Sometimes they use words to substitute for other things, don't they?
Yeah, especially with teaching some of the new words, you have to be very careful in how we use it so that people will know how to use it properly.
So are you ready to venture forth with this one?
Let's do it.
Well,
let's
do
start
our best.
On it. Okay, and the subtitle is also very interesting. What does that say?
Growing uncertainty in tech is creating chaos for startups, consumers, and investors.
You know, even that right there has got some words that we might need to go over, Rebecca.
Yeah, the first word is quite important for this article is uncertainty. There is a lot of uncertainty in the field we're going to talk about today. And uncertainty is basically you're not sure about the future. You're uncertain. And that's one of the big words we need to know.
Well, I think that all life nowadays is a little uncertain. Everybody doesn't know what's going to happen in the world, where the next war, where the next typhoon. I mean, seems like we're living in uncertain times to me.
Right. And sometimes that uncertainty can seem like chaos, like there's no order. You don't know what to expect. It's impossible to tell what's coming, and everything seems like it's a mess. That's chaos.
I'm glad you mentioned that word chaos, because to look at the word is spelled C-H. A-O-S, I would think it would be chow or cha or something, but it must be kind of some ancient word from some other language.
Yeah, of course, a lot of these words come from different languages, so this one is pronounced in a very strange way.
It is.
It probably has to do with that first language.
I don't know why they don't spell it K, K-A. Don't you think that would be better?
It'd be easier to read, that's for sure.
That's what's so hard about English is some of the spelling, isn't that right?
That's true.
So chaos, though, just means to be completely out of order and all kinds of confusion, doesn't it?
Right.
It's a big mess, really.
Yes, it's a big mess.
It is. So it says that tech is creating a big mess or a big confusion for all of us, and especially for startups. Now, startup is a word that we started to use more because of technology, too, because to start something up, you could say, I'm going to start my car, I'm going to start up my motor, means to turn it on. Mm-hmm. But what does a startup mean now as we use it in tech terms?
Right, and it often applies to tech businesses. So when a business is just starting, we would call that business a startup. It's just on its first legs, we could also say.
Didn't we start using that word more since we got into the kind of modern technology, though?
Yes, because in technology, there are a lot of new businesses, and they are usually quite small, maybe a 1 or 2 person company, and they create maybe a new app or some new technology feature, and it doesn't take a lot of money to do a startup in the beginning.
Okay, so now this is a little bit uncertain in technology, and it is making it very confusing for three kinds of people. The first kind is those who are in the startups, who want to start something new. They're the first kind. Who is the second group of people that's confused?
It's the consumers.
Like that's us.
That's us, people like us. Like we have to decide which kind of phone should I buy. Should I buy an iPhone or should I buy an Android? There's a lot of uncertainty. Like, what is the best product I should buy as
a
consumer?
If I buy this, will it be out of date tomorrow?
Yeah. Yes, it's very possible. There might be a new product that comes out making your product completely obsolete.
So it's kind of confusing and confused for us. And who else is being confused by all this?
Well, the investors. The investors are going to give financial support or financial help to these startups, these businesses, and they don't know which one is going to last either. So they're having a hard time deciding who to support.
So there's three groups of people here. The startups, usually they don't have a lot of money. They could be a very wealthy person that starts, but usually it's some young person with a good idea or somebody who just has working with a group of people. They need $1 million or something. They don't have it. So they have to count on these investors. They have to talk them into giving them money to do it. So you have the startups and the investors. And then we, the consumers, have to decide if we're going to buy it. And if we don't buy it, then they won't make money on it. So there's three groups of people we're talking about. Isn't that right?
That's right.
So that's a very good start. But now as we start to read this, there's going to be a lot of things to talk about. I think we should do a little reading first, though, so you can get used to some of the words. And if you want to, you can read out loud with us. It'll help you remember the words. So let's just read the whole first section now.
Venturing forth cautiously. Growing uncertainty in tech is creating chaos for startups, consumers, and investors. Fred Wilson, as in the New York-based venture capitalist VC, who bet on Etsy, Foursquare, Kickstarter, and Twitter, didn't make an investment last year. Roelof Botha, the prominent Silicon Valley investor who backed Instagram, Square, and YouTube, opted not to lead an A round. Wilson took a stab at explaining his reticence in a blog post when he wrote, "The wind that has been at our back for 7 to 8 years in consumer internet is no longer there. It's tougher sledding and will likely continue so for some time to come." Tech investors are notorious optimists. It's an occupational prerequisite. Given that their success depends on hitting a fund-making home run amid dozens of groundouts. So, when they exhibit caution, particularly after a good run and with no catastrophic event, yet, to freak them out, it's worth asking, what's going on here? The answer is that no one knows anything right now, and the implications are significant for everyone, from major players to startups, consumers, and investors. Big technical and financial questions loom. Which app platform will prevail? How well do mobile and social ads really work? Can we differentiate between innovations that are truly captivating and those that are fads? When examining the trends governing the industry, it's hard to escape the sense that uncertainty reigns.
Now, don't give up on this lesson just because it's hard. There's a lot of difficult things in here, aren't there?
Yeah, there are a lot of difficult terms, but the concepts are very interesting.
I think so. So we want to talk about the concept too, don't we?
Yes, we do. It's important.
You know, I learned some things, not only just the words and the ideas, but I didn't even know about Fred Wilson before. I never heard his name before because I don't really know very many of these millionaires. In fact, I don't know any of them, really. But Fred Wilson says that he is a New York-based, that means that's where he works from. He's a venture capitalist, right?
Yes, venture capitalist. When you talk about venture capital, that's 创投公司, and that is basically somebody who is willing to invest his money in a very risky business or a startup. And the reason they want to invest money into this kind of business is once the business starts making money, they will get a very big return. They'll get lots of money back.
So he evidently had invested in several of them. And what are the four of them that are mentioned here? Do you want to say just a little bit about them so we know what they do?
Sure. These are all, they all could be apps or you could use them on a website. The first one is Etsy, which is like a marketplace online where you can sell your own handmade things.
Like eBay and things?
Kind of like eBay, but a little more limited. You can't sell as many things on Etsy.
I never heard of Etsy. Did you?
Yeah, I have. You actually can buy a lot of very interesting things. Like, for example, you might want a bracelet that nobody else has.
Really?
And you can find it on Etsy because it's a marketplace for artisans. I think it started from New York.
Yeah, it is.
And then
New York
it went global. So you can buy basically anything. So next time you're looking for a gift, you can consider Etsy.
So he bet on them means that he put money on them probably too because he thought they would be really, really prospering, right?
Right. He decided
to
invest on
them. So what about Foursquare? What's that?
Foursquare is an app that it talks a lot about places in a city. You can find different restaurants, maybe different stores. And then when you use this app, you can kind of check in at these places, show that you've been there, and you of can rack up some points by doing this. This kind of has its own system, but it lets your friends know where you've been.
Have you ever done that one?
Not much.
Not really.
Because this one is more based in North America.
I think so. We have Taiwan and other things.
Yeah.
Over there, right?
In Asia, you don't get to check in on Foursquare. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what about Kickstarter?
Kickstarter is an online a kind of crowd support type of a website where you can put on an idea, you put out the plan for what you're going to do. Maybe you're making a movie and you want to see if anyone is interested in supporting your idea. And they can pledge, they can say a certain amount of money that they will help you with. And if you reach a certain amount of money, maybe you say $3,000. If people are willing to give you $3,000, then you get that money and you can use it. And usually there's some kind of a reward that you also promise for these people that have helped you on Kickstarter.
So you can kick it like, you know, like kicking the ball or give it a shot. So you kickstart a startup. Those are kind of interesting words, right? Well, Twitter, I think everybody's heard of Twitter.
Yeah, I think so.
And Twitter's been in a lot of trouble because sometimes people say things on there that aren't nice, and then they're supposed to take them off. And it's been in the news on CNN and all over the place because they've had a lot of problems this past year, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
Because so many people
Especially celebrities.
Twitter.
Yeah, sometimes they put up a wrong picture or maybe say something that's not so nice, and then millions of people see it.
Yeah.
And then that will affect their image.
When they had a lot of threats on it against women and said they were going to rape them and kill them, and they had a big deal about
that
on CNN.
Yeah, so be very careful what you put on your social media because a lot of people might see it.
Yeah, and then you get a lot of trouble. And what they're supposed to do at Twitter is to police that a little better so those things don't get on. So they've been really working on it. But it did a lot to harm their reputation this past year. But anyway, Fred Wilson, he's a venture capitalist. That's what he does. He invests in these things. But he said that he didn't make an investment last year. Of course, he's probably got enough investments he's living on, you know.
It's actually quite amazing that a venture capitalist who is so well known in the tech circle is actually not willing to put his money on any of the new startups. That might mean there might be some problems in the tech industry right
Questionable.
Now.
Questionable, that's right. Mm-hmm. Well, the other man, I guess he's an American, but his name looks kind of South African or something to me. What about Botha here?
Yeah, Roelof Botha. He's a prominent Silicon Valley investor, so he's in California and he's well known there. And he backed Instagram, which probably a lot of people have heard as well. You can just take pictures, put them online, and that usually works well with Facebook as well, and then also Square and YouTube. But he also opted or decided not to lead an A round this year.
What's an A round, do you think?
I think an A round is basically the first round of investments for a new startup. Mm. So basically, Botha is taking a wait-and-see attitude. He's seeing if other investors are willing to invest. He might be willing to invest at a later stage, but definitely not in the first stage.
So there's two men that we've never heard too much about, most of us, but they are not putting much money in now because they're being cautious. It says they opted or they chose not to do this. Mm-hmm. But Fred Wilson says he took a stab at something. And to take a stab is a very common idiom. We often say that. Well, let's just take a stab at it.
Right.
What does that mean?
Yeah, to take a stab means to try something that you haven't done before. And I kind of think of eating dinner, for example. Maybe you see mm-hmm. a kind of meat you've never seen. Maybe ostrich, and to take a stab, maybe you take your knife and poke at it and then try it out for the first time.
And you could probably say about the same thing, well, I have never gone golfing, but I'm going to take a stab at it. I'll try. You know, just something you haven't done before. But he tried to explain why he is reluctant or reticent. His reticent means why he's not very willing. In a blog post, he wrote this. He wrote the reason that he didn't do this. In other words, all they're saying here is that he tried to explain why he didn't invest last mm-hmm. year. That's mm-hmm. what they're trying to say in very simple words.
Yes.
But, of course, this is advanced, so we have to use all these big words. But the thing that he wrote is also pretty interesting. What does that mean?
Yeah, he says, the wind that has been at our back for 7 to 8 years in consumer internet is no longer there.
Now, that's so strange, isn't it?
Yeah, wind at your back or our back, that's a phrase that we kind of just use that to say things are going well, the wind is pushing us along, and we have a lot of progress.
And so the wind, what about it? The consumer internet, the people buying things on the internet, it's not as great as it was. As he says, it's no longer there. It's not pushing us that hard anymore mm-hmm. because there's too many things. You don't know which one to do. When apps were new, everybody, there's an app. And now there's so many, they don't know which ones to push. Isn't that right?
Yeah, there is just a lot of confusion about the future.
And so it's very difficult. And he used a phrase here. It says it's tough sledding. I think of going out in the snow on a sled and going downhill or uphill.
Right.
But it means it's a difficult road right now. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. And it's going to continue to be difficult for some time to come. So if you're an investor, you're going to say, these are big investors. What do they mean? What about these tech investors? And what are they usually like?
Well, they're usually notorious optimists. They're well known for just having a positive view of things. And it even says here that it's an occupational prerequisite. If you're going to be a tech investor, you really need to be able to think positively about these new ideas and new startups.
You have to really believe that they're going to come to something. Otherwise, you're not going to put money on them. Right. And because the reason is, it's given that, their success depends on hitting a fun-making home run. Now we're getting into baseball terms and sport terms. They're using all kinds of terms here. What does that mean?
Yeah, I think we have a lot of baseball fans listening, most likely. So I think home run, everyone knows. And then a ground out, which we have in our specialized terms, is basically a ball that the other team catches. And then, so that means you go out.
Okay, so there's a lot of things that don't work out. And so they don't know if they're going to really succeed. When you make a home run, you succeed. You got points. You'll jaffin. But they're not sure about that. So when you exhibit something, it means to show it. When they show caution, when they are saying, maybe we better not, after a good run, after something seems good, with nothing terrible, catastrophic event just means nothing terrible, to freak them out, to make them scared to death, it's worth asking everybody, what's going on here? What are these people worried about? What are these investors worried about? That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But they used a very difficult way to say that, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
They really did.
They used a lot of big words.
So to say that in simple words, what would you say?
Well, when someone who's so successful is being so careful, you really should look into why. Why are they acting that way?
I think he should write more articles. Oh. Wasn't that
easier?
That was very
easy. You could rewrite this article.
That's right. But, you know, it's good for us to read these things so you can read. This is why we want you to learn these things in advance. These are things that are being written in other magazines, so you have to be able to read them. So we're trying to help you so that you can find the tools to think about them yourselves when you're reading them. But what is the answer? What is the answer to all this?
Well, the answer is nobody knows. They really cannot predict the future, and that's what makes these investors so cautious. They don't know which products, which apps will succeed. So instead of putting money in something they're not sure of, they're just putting their money in their pocket.
So nobody knows for sure, but it looks like the implications are, means it seems to indicate or show, and these things are significant, that everybody from the big major players, we're into baseball again, the major players and the startups and the consumers and the investors, all these big people that do this, they are asking which app platform is going to win or to prevail, is going to stand in there and be the one. What else are they asking?
They're also asking, do social and mobile ads work? And also, which innovations, which new things are going to last? They're lasting. They're not fads. Fads is something that passes away very quickly. And which ones are ones that are last?
Because there's so many of them, and they're examining them now. And what are the way things are going, the trends that are controlling, governing the industry? It's very hard to escape the fact that everybody seems uncertain. So let's read the rest of this.
Regime change. The two titans of computing, Intel and Microsoft, have been supplanted in the post-PC era. The semiconductor company ARM is the Intel of mobile because its chips are better designed to deliver power without draining battery. And Apple's iOS and Google's Android operating systems are far more relevant than Windows. But it's not that simple. We still don't know the full implications of mobile devices replacing desktops. Nor can we tell whether Apple or Google will prevail as a clear winner in powering the mobile experience.
This last section, they talk about a regime change, and this is not a ruling power. What do they mean?
Yeah, a regime change is kind of one big power. And here we actually see another word kind of like that, the two titans of computing. A titan is also someone, some kind of figure that has a lot of power. And here we're talking about the computer world or maybe companies that make computer chips and that sort of thing.
And what are the two big companies?
Well, here in previous time it was Intel and Microsoft.
Okay.
But in our article, it tells us that they are being supplanted, or basically they're being overthrown by new companies.
Now, that's interesting that they are being supplanted or taken over in this post-PC era. What do we mean by post-PC era?
Well, PC, of course, personal computer, and we're moving much more towards mobile things and handheld devices rather than your desktop computers. And so that means that these powers, power forces are changing also.
So the semiconductor company ARM, did you know anything about ARM?
I did look into them a little bit. They've been around for about 25 years now, but they're just one of the leading companies
that makes semiconductors,
chips and things like that. Processors.
They're kind of like Intel was to computers, ARM is to mobile.
Yeah.
So they do the things for the mobile phones because its chips are better designed. And they deliver power without draining the battery. Now, that's very important because the battery life is so important on our smartphones and things. And so they give you power, but they don't take the battery so fast. What about them?
Yeah, so that might be the reason why they are supplanting Intel. Before everyone in your computer, you probably had Intel chips, but a lot of chips now on mobile phones are made by ARM.
And actually, an interesting thing about ARM is they have a lot of design centers in Taiwan also.
That's true. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies, even semiconductor companies do too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's true. But Apple uses this, their iOS, their operating system, and Google uses Android operating systems. And they're more relevant now than the Windows system because Windows would use the Intel chips because they're on a desktop or something like that. But these are more relevant or they're very up-to-date because they're used more on the mobile things, right?
Yes, whether it's smartphones or tablets, people are using Android system or iOS.
But it's not that simple, it says. It says we still don't know the full implications of all these mobile devices that are replacing desktops.
Right, and we also can't tell whether Apple or Google are going to end up winning. They'll prevail as the clear winner in powering the mobile experience.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll talk about some of the things that might affect it tomorrow. So I hope you got a good basis of understanding for today. But we'll go and review it the first thing tomorrow. And be sure to stay tuned. Be with us every day because there's always new things to learn. And sometimes you might want to take a stab at writing some things yourself.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea. It's great practice.
And also, you might be a venture capitalist. I don't think we ever will, but, you know, there are certain things that happen. So we'll find out more about it tomorrow. Be sure and come back to class. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.